And now, the starting lineup for the Bully Pulpit Podcast, with Cheetos on his fingers, licking his fingers, standing 4'9", Ryan Graham.
And now, live from New York, it's Bobby Moynihan.
I don't know who that is.
What is that?
Who is that?
That's a SNL guy, I guess. I don't know. We're back.
Gary Kelzone here.
Bully Pulpit podcast. It's a day after the NBA Finals, and I guess the end of the Golden State Warriors dynasty. Can we say that? I mean, can they reload? What does their salary cap look like right now?
Horrible. So if they were not to re-sign Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant, they're re-signing Klay Thompson. Like, that's going to happen. I think they would only have like $10 million in cap space due to Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, who have also been both linked to possibly retiring. And I believe what happens is when you retire, if there is still salary left on your contract, there is a cap hit the following year. So brutal hit for the Warriors. I do expect Klay Thompson to be back. What do you think?
Well,
not that this is a Warriors podcast, but what do you think?
It's like, a the player Warriors... option, though, right, for Durant, right?
Yeah, he could actually opt in for like 30-some million or something like that.
What happens if he goes out into the open market? No one wants to sign him for a max deal, which I know is not the reality, because I think there's like three teams that have already offered him or already said they would offer him a max deal. But, like, right. What if he shopped himself around, decided, I don't really want to do that, and then just, like, took the player option and fucked over the Warriors?
You have to decide if you want to take the player option first.
Okay.
So you can opt out and then test the open market. Otherwise, I don't think that's plausible. I don't think that's going to happen. I heard Golden State is planning on offering both of them the max. I think Klay Thompson will take it. I think Kevin Durant still wants to go somewhere else.
Do you think he's going to go to the Nets with Kyrie?
No, I really think Jimmy Butler is going to go to the Nets with Kyrie. Those two have been talking about it for years. They've been talking about like finding a way to get to Kyrie Irving to Chicago. Back when Kyrie Irving was initially requesting a trade, that was one of the rumored spots, is how the fuck are we going to clear up room? That's especially because we still had Dwayne Wade.
Uh-huh.
So how are we going to clear room to actually make room for Kyrie? So that was the big question mark there. And it's not like Cleveland was taking Dwayne Wade's contract, even though him and LeBron were buddies. And LeBron bolted the next year. So,
and Klay Thompson also goes down with a torn ACL. Did you watch the game last night, I'm assuming?
I did, yep.
So he leaves the court with, you know, what's pretty obviously a serious knee injury. Then gets told as he's walking down the tunnel, that if he doesn't shoot the free throws, then he basically can't come back into the game. So he comes back, hits two free throws, and then I don't know if you caught what happened afterwards, but they were just going to let him play. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I did see him like run back like he was going back on defense.
Like, and Draymond Green was calling out the defense, and Steve Kerr was telling him to, you know, get set and stuff like that. Like, they weren't going to call a timeout to get him off the floor. And then what ended up happening was Boogie Cousins, of all people, decided like, nah, fuck this. We need to get him off the court. Which, in hindsight, might have saved him from further injuring his knee. Like, that could have saved him from an MCL tear on top of the ACL tear.
Right.
And Boogie, of all people, like, knows what it's like to go through, you know, a season-ending injury.
Just
saw what happened to Kevin Durant. And
right.
I think Boogie just took it. That might be, if the Warriors do come back to prominence, you might look back at that weird moment with Boogie Cousins and go, he actually could have, like, saved us for the future. So I just thought that was a weird moment. The whole game felt like the Warriors were going to come back, but then you just kind of realize, like, none of their players could do anything compared to, like, the depth that the Raptors had. Like, the Raptors just had too much, and the Warriors were relying on Quinn Cook and, you know, Fucking what's Jonas Jerebko got a few minutes in there as well.
Right.
It at a certain point, like, you just don't have the players to be able to win, no matter, even if it is the last game at Oracle Arena and everyone's hyped up and everyone wants you to win and Steph Curry is trying to, you know, do everything he can. It just, at a certain point, you just don't have the guys.
So, like, you want to kick it off before we actually get into some of, you know, actual, like, Bulls content? You want to kick it off with some fan questions first and then jump right in? Because we're going to talk about the draft. So I asked, give me your wildest draft scenarios or just questions you have. Cuff Dad at Cuffle underscore Blake asks or says Cam Reddish at 7, since the Cavs will be stupid enough to pass on him. Thoughts on that one?
Well, we are going to talk about, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to do a tier list, sort of like the meme that's been going around on YouTube and on social media and stuff like that, of all the possible scenarios for the Bulls. So drafting Cam Reddish, I mean, I guess we can start
is
there.
Is one of them, yeah.
Is one of them. So it goes right. S tier is the ideal situation, and then it's A, B, C, D, E, F. I mean,
we can hold off on this. Just run through the scenarios real quick, and then talk about.
Let's
each
just
of
start
them.
with Cam, and because that's a place where the Bulls could end up. To me, right. That's if the Bulls don't trade up, which would be another option on this tier list. If they don't trade up, Cam Reddish is probably going to fall to him. It might be Cam and somebody else, unless the Lakers.
Well, who's? I mean.
Because the math...
Cuff Dad says, like, the Cavs, but, I mean, are the Cavs... I mean, I hear they're interested, but, like, are they interested in taking him at 5 with the people? I mean, it's actually kind of weird because, like, everybody from, like, 4 to 7 or 8, like, could go anywhere, technically, within that range.
Right. So we're looking at the... We're going to look at Tankathon right now and just try to do the math on basically the like what could happen here. Obviously, Zion, Ja, and RJ are going to be gone. So that leaves...
But that's
three,
like it as far as like solidified.
Right. So that leaves 3 players in front of the Bulls that could be chosen.
Right.
So,
I mean, who are the possibilities here? I mean, we're really only looking at... Darius Garland.
Garland, Culver, DeAndre Hunter, Kobe White, Cam Reddish, Sekou Dabiye, however the fuck you pronounce
it. And I would
name.
Say that's it. I would say that that is pretty damn close to the definitive 4 through 8.
Right.
Unless somebody makes like a large jump. Like you like showed me a podcast today
right,
that had the Suns taking Brandon Clark.
The mock draft on Locked On NBA had Brandon Clark going 6 to the Suns, which kind of makes sense, actually, even though he's mocked a lot lower, because they do need a power forward.
I mean, that would be a situation that where they would want to check in with the Atlanta Hawks.
Right.
To trade back. But then again, I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, whoever
he is
they wanted 8
super
could
athletic.
Fall to them.
I wouldn't be terribly disappointed if the Bulls went with Brandon Clark. I would like him over Jackson Hayes.
Yeah,
or
if you're going big, you want at least some sort of...
Demboya. I mean, Demboya is... Well, we'll get to those later, but...
I like him. He interests me.
So right now, we're talking about Cam Reddish. I mean... At this point, I think we all kind of know the...
I mean, versatile 6'8", can play the 2 through the 4.
Right, the scouting report on him. Did
honestly,
not have a great season at Duke. It wasn't terrible. He showed flashes, but it wasn't what people thought he could
right,
do
at Duke.
Right,
his percentages were really low. I get down on him because even if you're kind of playing out of your element, you're the third option. Or not only are you the third option, so, like you can make the excuse, I guess, that like... He's playing out of his element. He has the ball more in his hands, which I get. Like, people do, but, like, most of these guys coming in have their ball, like, the ball in their hands. Like, even, like, centers that are coming in their high school, it'll just, like, get them the ball, and they'll probably drive it up when they're playing against other high school talent.
The question is, okay, what team in the NBA would Cam Reddish be the first option? Like, if he goes to any team, he's going to
be
a second or third option.
Where I will... give that credit, though, is that he is more of a ball handler. So, like, he's finished, I think, in, like, the 95th percentile of, like, pick-and-roll ball handlers. So, like, the most efficient pick-and-roll ball handlers in the nation, he was in the top 5%. And it was a relatively small sample size because they weren't doing that. And because of his running mate was Zion Williamson. But that's another NBA talent there where, you know, that goes to show, like, he does pretty well in that situation. I do think he's got such a pure stroke that, like, why on earth was he not thriving with the wide-open looks he was getting? But then again, I mean, like, is that something you can address? Do you see people make a big jump percentage-wise from college to NBA? Sure.
Well, if we're talking about fit on the Bulls, he would probably back up Otto Porter. He could be, like, a small ball four, maybe. Like,
could
if,
be.
If you wanted to do, like...
What I think is a scenario that actually could happen, say he comes and he does thrive in camp. He has a killer summer league. He's really impressing the Bulls. You know, which is a possibility. I'm not going to count him out there. He could play. I mean, if you wanted, like, depending on what we do in free agency as far as the point guard goes, one of my situations has always been Zach LaVine playing the point guard, and you have, like, a very good defender at the two, which could be Cam Reddish. That could be a backcourt duo to grow with.
Well, either way, as a wing that's a good defender can shoot, like, he gives them more versatility in terms
right.
of their lineups.
From comparison standpoint, I mean, he's kind of like Klay Thompson.
For me, it's a B tier.
Yeah.
If you end up with Cam Reddish, that's where I would put Reddish is a B tier. It's not the ideal. I mean, I don't know if we will have anything in the S tier.
Right.
There might be some better options than Reddish if they end up falling to the Bulls. But let's move on to Darius Garland.
And there is a statement here from Carwell at Carwell Augustus. His Twitter name is Barrett Coming Home. Barrett is not. I mean, he's from Canada. He's not going to the Raptors. sorry, Carwell.
That would be wild.
So the Bulls get Garland sitting the ass at 7. So I think what he's trying to say, I can't promise you that I fully understand what you're saying, dude, but I think he's saying that, like, Darius Garland falls to 7.
If we're being honest, there's a decent chance that no point guards fall to 7. Mm-hmm. Unless you're really high on Shamori Ponds, I don't think... I mean, you look at who is drafting here. It's going to be Zion. Ja's going to go second. RJ Barrett third. It could be Darius Garland to the Lakers.
See, the Lakers, I can't see many scenarios where they're actually picking there. Can you?
Well, to me, that's a trade-up spot for some other team that decides they want Darius Garland. Which is kind of crazy considering the fact that he was like a top 10 player a few months ago in most mock drafts, and now so many teams were high on him that he became, you know, he's being mocked on Tankathon right now as fourth overall. I could see a team jumping in where the Lakers are and grabbing Garland. It'll be interesting because once the Lakers pick, I think, you know, usually they make the pick and then a few, you know, 5 minutes later or 2 minutes later.
Yeah, but it's usually not their pick.
Learn that that wasn't their pick. So if they make, you know, if they choose Jarrett Culver with, you know, already
Jarrett
having LeBron.
Could be going to the Pelicans.
It could be going to the Pelicans. It could be going somewhere else.
The thing is two teams you need to actually look out for in this situation are the New Orleans Pelicans and the Washington Wizards. The reason I say... Well, actually, let's start with the Pelicans. So the Pelicans want... I mean, what apparently is being discussed is Lonzo Ball... Who else? Brandon Ingram. The fourth overall pick for Anthony Davis. What they want is Kuzma too, but apparently Kuzma's like fucking Jeannie Buss from the Lakers, and they don't want to give him up. I don't know. Look at all the pictures. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just like type in like Kuzma bus, and you'll see some pretty provocative pictures of them giving each other sexy eyes. Anyways, looking at that, or from what I hear too, is the Pelicans don't necessarily want the fourth pick. And I don't know if I blame them, but like what they want is like, especially if they're not getting Kuzma too, they want like a high level player. So
it's probably going to come from a third team.
Right, a third team trading their player for a pick, and maybe they do have to throw in Kuzma.
Basically,
and they get Lonzo or Brandon Ingram.
A team
for
that
a high level
is
player.
Ostensibly a team that is saying, we're going to give the Lakers. Or no, we're going to give the Pelicans one of our better players, and in return, we're going to get the fourth round pick from the
Lakers.
Right,
because apparently they don't want to build from scratch around Zion Williamson. They want to keep Drew Holiday. They want to keep some of the pieces that they have, like some of the complementary pieces, like Etwan Moore and some of those people, and just really like stand pat and like actually like. Throw him into the slot of Anthony Davis, basically.
Mm-hmm.
While putting more talent around him. So, if you go on Twitter, you'll see a bunch of toxic shit like about us putting Zach LaVine in that situation and us getting number four and keeping seven as well. Or getting number four in Lonzo Ball. I don't buy that shit, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway, so say that like the Pelicans just had to suck it up and take the fourth overall pick, they might take Darius Garland. But if they're getting Lonzo Ball in return, I mean, do they want to do that? I mean, maybe they want him to play the two guard next to Lonzo because that actually might be a good fit. It might be a good fit in LA too. I think what they're leaning towards if they keep their pick, pairing Lonzo Ball and Darius Garland in the backcourt, which. I mean, Darius Garland isn't necessarily the biggest like passing prospect, but he's a really good off the ball shooter and can do a lot of those things.
And then you're talking about the Wizards.
So then the Wizards. The reason I say the Wizards is because Bradley Beal. I mean, the Wizards like really I think want to blow it up. I've heard they want Lonzo Ball. So that's another person where they get Lonzo Ball in the fourth pick. They throw in Bradley Beal. I don't see them taking Darius Garland at four. So that's one then where Darius Garland, they take, who do we say the Wizards take in that situation? So they got, what's his dick, John Wall, sitting there for another, he's going to be sitting out for another season apparently. Then you have, Lonzo Ball, John Wall. I mean, do you really want a third point guard in that situation? I think the idea would be to flip John Wall and eventually. But it looks like they want to go full rebuild. So getting rid of Bradley Beal and getting assets in return actually makes sense for them. Let's say they take Jarrett Culver then at four. Darius Garland will be there at least at five. Do you see the Cleveland Cavaliers taking him?
I don't think the Cavs would. I think they would either go DeAndre Hunter or potentially Cam Reddish.
Right. And both of those, if they don't pick him there, will be there at seven, right?
Right.
So trade with us.
So you want to trade up with the Cavaliers.
Right. I mean, on the rookie scale contract, I mean, it's almost beneficial, too, to like take somebody who's going to be cheaper for longer as well. I mean, two picks back is I mean, not substantial, but, like, it's definitely cheaper. So, like, it's a win situation for them, and they're going to get an asset back. Do they want Chris Dunn to back up Colin Sexton? I doubt that's their ideal situation. Do we give up a top, you know, a protected first-round pick in 2 years? Maybe.
So that would be my question is, if you're going to trade up with the Cavs, what are you giving up, and is what you're giving up worth – getting a marginally better player? Because if you ask me, I really don't think Garland is that much better than Reddish or that much better than Culver. I think he's probably a little bit better than Kobe White.
I see, like I said, I've always said this, I see Damian Lillard potential in Darius Garland. I could be eating shit in about 4 years, But that, I mean, that's what I see. That's the potential that I see with him there. I think there's a superstar ceiling there. I don't know what the floor is.
I mean, the floor could be like Brandon Knight.
I was gonna say, Brandon Knight was never like the greatest shooter. I don't know. One of them though.
Yeah. I feel about as good about drafting Garland as I do about Reddish or Culver. Maybe a couple notches ahead. Like if we're talking about NBA 2K ratings, maybe Garland's a, you know, 78 and Culver and Reddish are like a 76. Like I don't think it's that drastic of a drop off if you just stay where you are and let the draft fall to you. I just don't know, is it worth taking that chance to fuck yourself in 2 years or give up, you know? I mean, it depends on what you give up.
Is it really fucking yourself in 2 years? I mean, we, like, if in 2 years we're not, like, doing well enough to the point where we're out of the lottery, I'm kind of concerned. Don't you think?
Yeah, but, anything can happen. You know, and you're just getting rid of an asset that maybe that's the 19th pick in the draft that you could trade for something else down the road. I don't know. It depends on what you want to give up.
I wouldn't give up that much. But
I'd rather give up a player than a draft pick.
A 15 protected pick in 2 years.
I don't know if they would do that.
Yeah. Who, the Cavs?
Yeah.
Why not?
The Cavs want to...
If they get their guy at 7, why does it matter?
They really don't think they get an asset
in return to get their guy.
I really don't think the Cavs would trade with the Bulls. I think it's going to be... I think the Atlanta Hawks have the opportunity to move up. And
the Atlanta Hawks want Jarrett Culver.
Or
so if they move
Cam
up to
Reddish.
4, he's not... Or to 5. I don't think that... Maybe.
I've heard they're really high on Cam Reddish. So
I've heard Jarrett Culver.
Well, either way, I mean, it's going to be... I think there's going to be a lot of moving around. But anyway, we started this discussion by talking about Darius Garland. To me, I would put him a notch above Reddish. Like I said, I'd put him in the A tier.
Sure.
If we could end up with Garland. I mean, fits a need. He's probably the second best point guard available. We'll see over time if that bears out. But a small guy, small sample size. He's only like 180 pounds, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You'd hope he can kind of bulk up a little bit. I think the fit on the Bulls is good just because you absolutely need a point guard. And you need shooting. You need pretty much everything on the Bulls. So,
right.
I would put him in the A tier.
I'm taking the modern day combo guard.
We've talked a lot about trading up, which is an option, which kind of goes hand in hand with Garland. Or, I mean, you're not going to get a top three pick. I would put trading up as an option in. I don't know, maybe the C tier, just because there is risk involved.
Sure.
Okay. So again, we're not going to put Zion, RJ Barrett, or Ja.
What the fuck are your upstairs neighbors doing?
I have no idea. I mean, if they ended up with any of those three guys, RJ is debatable. I mean, why not? Why not include them? Obviously, I think Zion would be an S tier, although that's not probably going to happen. I think Ja would be an S tier as well. RJ Barrett maybe an A tier. The fit on the Bulls with him...
I think the fit is questionable, but, I mean, the talent's definitely
yeah,
there.
We're not going to spend too much time talking about it because it's not going to happen, but...
I don't think the Bulls are actively... I mean, yeah, sure, the Bulls could actively look to trade up to 1 and 2, but it's not going to happen. I don't think they would actively look up to trade to number 3.
well, you know, say something weird happens and RJ Barrett falls to seven because, you know, I mean, the Knicks basically said they're, unless they trade the pick, they're going to get...
Because there's a video of him smoking crack or
something. Yeah, there's a video, there's like the who was that? That was like an Ole Miss lineman in the NFL draft that got...
It was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Was doing like a gas mask bong.
Yeah.
You know, if something like that happens and for some reason he falls to seven, like, yeah, draft him. I mean, but probably not going to happen. So we're looking at, we've already done Reddish, Garland.
Speaking of trading up, what about trading for a veteran? So
well,
we got
that,
one.
That,
we
that
got,
could be an option, too. How about trading out?
We got
like, just straight up, I'm going to trade you my...
I-A, R-I-D-G-E-N-A-I-A. It's Zoe Mook Duke Morning says, Bulls get an all-star player for the draft pick.
So
all-star,
basically
I mean,
trading out is the option. So taking the seven, just shipping it off to somebody. First of all, do the Bulls have salary cap in order to take on a contract? And if so, how much can they take on? Because aren't they...
They... I mean, so they have like $20 million...
Right now?
About $20 million right now. That's ballpark. There's $3 million up in the air from the NBA, whether or not we can get Omer Asheik's off. So I think with that it could bring us to like 25 or something like that. We need to do some maneuvering. I did the math. We need to do some maneuvering to offer somebody a max contract, but it's not that hard. I really think.
So if we're in the 20 million range,
right?
I mean
we could, but like we could suck on like a contract, especially if we attached Chris Dunn there. We can get to 25 to 27 pretty easily.
To me, there's not a whole lot available in the...
Right, and the three names that you hear in a straight-up trade for seven and with potentially Chris Dunn attached to it is Lonzo Ball, Mike Conley, Goran Dragic is, you know, there for a trade.
Right.
You know, you could say Chris Paul... Gross. And you could say Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is my favorite out of all of those options.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I think the Pelicans really do want to stand pat, and I don't think Drew Holiday is available. But out of all of those names that potentially could be available for that seventh pick, is my favorite's Drew Holiday because he does have 3 years on the contract, and I say only with an asterisk, but only 31 when the contract's up. So you have potential to sign him for another, not a minimum deal, but like, you know, kind of a mid, you know, $15 million a year for three more years if you want to keep it going, if you like what you have.
All right. Well, I mean, what if... See, there's just, in this range in terms of salary, there's just not a whole lot of guys that I would make that trade for. I mean, there's...
And I mean, you got to be looking at point guards pretty much specifically. They're like almost like, you know...
I mean, you can get Tyler Johnson.
No.
You could get, you know, Jeff Teague in the last year of his contract.
Is his an option, though?
No. So, oh, really? 1920, he's...
For some reason, I thought Teague was a free agent this year and nobody was talking about him because he's Jeff Teague.
I mean, you know, there's... I'm just going to read some of the names here so you can hear it. I mean, it's like Ion Mahimi, Timothy Mozgov, Iguodala's making 17, Dennis Schroeder, Clint Capella, Gorgie Jang, Eric Bledsoe. I mean, it's just not a whole lot. And as you kind of go down here, it gets worse. I mean, Joe Ingles, Chris Middleton... I don't really know who you would trade up, so for that reason, or
especially
who you would trade out
for, all-star.
I would put that in the E tier. I don't really think there's... I think there's really not a whole lot out there for you,
right?
You know, unless you want to go for, but I especially don't think teams are gonna, you know, like... Siakam, you know, a contract like that, which is not huge right now, like, I don't think a team would get rid of someone on a rookie deal for the chance to replace them with an unproven rookie. So we've done the trade outs.
Right. And we've got two fucking Vic Selbs says 27-year-old Michael Jordan arrives in the spaceship from Space Jam and announces his return to the Bulls. So we're going to mark that one off as an LOL. And we'll Gar Foreman eats an entire bucket of KFC fried chicken live at the draft.
We'll put Michael Jordan in the S tier.
That's meant for TV. I like that.
No, I already have. Okay, this is an LOL. Trade the 7th pick for cash considerations.
We did this before. How much cash did we decide that we would get from this if we got $3 million for like a mid-second round pick?
$1 billion.
I'll take $1 billion.
I think that's an F tier for cash considerations.
Okay.
Let's do someone that in the Locked On NBA podcast, they mocked the Bulls to select Coby White, which, you know, again, he might not be there if Garland goes early and Coby White goes to the Suns, because the Suns also need a point guard.
The Suns could be in one of those situations where they trade the pick for one of those guys, like Mike Conley, right. Like Lonzo Ball. Right?
Which would be very funny if that happened to Lonzo. But, okay, let's just talk about Coby White in terms of his fit. I mean, to me, he's like a C tier.
Yeah. I mean, a combo guard who can kind of shoot. He's super fast. I kind of see him as like a deer and Fox speed. But he doesn't have the entire skill set as Fox. But to me, he's a pretty good like scorer as far as like floaters and clutch shots. I mean, he did some big things for North Carolina this year. But
do you think Coby White right now is better than Chris Dunn?
I think Coby White can be better for the team than Chris Dunn. I don't know as far as entire package. That might be even be a situation where you draft Coby White and just keep Chris Dunn, or trade Chris Dunn and bring in Pat Beverly to start over Coby White.
Well, now we're in crazy town. Now we have like 6 point guards.
That's why I said trade Dunn. And
oh, okay. Yeah.
And like, I mean, I've said this before. I mean, like a lot of these guards are combo guards, so like you can have more than 3 of them on your roster to play the two. I mean, even if you wanted like Archie Diacono, you could put him in as like a situational 1 or 2, depending on, you know, what's going on, or Shaq Harrison.
If you ever have a situation where you need a bad basketball player, we could really use someone to just dribble up the floor and pass it to a wing and then go stand in the corner. All right, so Jarrett Culver. The jury is kind of out on Jarrett Culver. A lot of people like him and project him to be
a star.
Like maybe not a superstar, but sort of like,
I mean, his ceiling to me and to a lot of other people that I've seen is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, or like Victor Oladipo, like that level of guy. He's a decent playmaker, very good defender, can get you some rebounds, can score. He's not an elite. He's not really elite at anything except for maybe defense. Culver?
Oh, Culver, yeah.
I mean, you know, with his, like, wingspan.
For some reason, I was like, I just, like, rewinded back to, or rewound. Is it rewinded or rewound?
Rewound.
Rewound back to when we were talking about Coby White, and I forgot we were talking about Culver.
And, you know, I don't know how much. Coyote. I don't know, you know, it seems like with defense, it's like very binary the way people look at it. They either say you're a good defender or you're a terrible defender. So I don't know how good of a defender. Like, I think Lowry is a good defender, but he's never going to be known as that. Like, Lowry actually tries and contests some shots. I think there's a lot of gray area.
Lowry's pretty under, like, you know.
There's a lot of gray area.
He's undervalued, I think, to a lot of like fans, but he's definitely does a lot of good things.
Culver played on a team that was very defense oriented and had a lot of other really good defenders, so it kind of magnifies his defense. I mean, to me, it's risky. It's probably
that would be a situation where you would probably want him to start with Zach LaVine.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of in the B range. It's like Reddish. To me, I think like Colby White's a little bit of a reach. I think Garland is kind of a reach, but he's just better than Colby White, and probably, you know, has more, just in terms of what you need in the NBA, he probably is a better bet, or a better, like, you'd rather take that risk than take a risk on a wing. But so I'll put Culver in the B tier.
We've come a long way from like 3-4 months ago, like almost refusing to like do a scouter on Jarrett Culver, because we're basically like, fuck Jarrett Culver, I don't want to end up with Jarrett Culver at
right.
7.
That was
like,
that was the punch
around.
Line.
That
yeah.
was like a fuck around scenario that we didn't even want to entertain, because like we were so high on getting Zion, we were so high on getting Ja Morant. So, I don't know. But, I mean, back then we were also really high on Cam Reddish, so.
Let's do P.J. Washington. How much do you know about P.J. Washington? He's a guy
Honestly, not much. He played for
North Carolina.
Was it NC State? Or was it North Carolina or NC State?
I believe it was North Carolina. I'm going to put him in the D tier just because I think that's a reach. Also, there's no one in the D tier right now. So I think it'd be fun to slot him in there. No, he was a Kentucky guy.
Okay.
I just think it's a reach at that point.
I've done like no research on this guy whatsoever. Clearly. All right,
let's learn about PJ Washington. What did he do? Not a great 3-point shooter.
I mean, he only took 2 a game. He shot 42% from 3, but he only took 2 a game. Not a very good free throw shooter at 66%.
Scored
got
how
a
many
decent
a
amount
game?
Of rebounds. He scored 15 a game for Kentucky. So
just sort of a less complete version of Reddish.
I mean, if I know anything about like Kentucky players, like as of recent, like looking at like what's his Booker and Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, we'd probably be getting like a Fortnite player.
Yeah. So someone who you probably think is in a similar category is Brandon Clark from Gonzaga.
You've been on this dude's dick for a while.
I think he's going to be a lot better than people think he is. He's not a sexy pick.
Right.
I think he'll be sort of the Wendell Carter of this draft, where whatever team ends up with him, their fans are going to be kind of like, oh, God. But he'll end up being a decent player.
I think those teams in the 10 range would be thrilled. I think like,
well, if you're
teams
in the
like
10 range,
Timberwolves and
sure.
stuff like that like really want this guy.
For me, he's a C, but for you, he's probably a D. I'll put him in the D.
No, put him in a C. I wouldn't. Like, we need depth at the four.
They have no front court depth right now at all.
We have the front court of the future. I mean, we have a prototypical front court of the future. Like, we have exactly what you can draw up for like young front court.
Right, but you do have a good 30 minutes that needs to come off the bench, you know, or thereabouts from from big men. It's just
like relying on a rookie. I mean, it's obviously weird, there's stipulations around that, and like
it's weird because the Bulls at the power forward position were so like there was such a logjam there for the longest time. When you had
we were yelling free Bobby Portis for the longest
time.
Yeah,
it was Bobby and it was Mirotic and then you had Lowry.
Bobby Mirotic, Taj Gibson. You had Noah and Pau Gasol starting. So then you had Bobby Portis as like the third string. You had Nico Mirotic coming off the bench.
Yeah, so it used to be such a logjam there. And now you're... I mean, you really don't have much.
We're dry as fuck there.
So if you think that Brandon Clarke can be kind of a, just a weird change of pace,
and you want to address like wing depth and
athletic as hell, like one of the just absolutely
he's just a monster on defense.
Like blew it out of the park in at you know in terms of the combine, like testing. Super athletic. He is short for his size. Doesn't have a huge
His wingspan is like terrible. But
yeah,
like
it doesn't have a huge wingspan. But I think he's not like if the Bulls end up with him, which I don't think they will, but if they end up with him, it's not going to be the end of the world. They like I said, they need everything they can get at this point. Let's talk about another big man in Jackson Hayes from Texas. Are we still doing Brandon Clarke?
No, I'm just looking at his wingspan. It is 6'8". So he's 6'8" with a 6'8" wingspan.
Yeah. Jackson Hayes, very like unpolished, kind of rim running center. In the
What did Casey Johnson today or yesterday say that some people within the Bulls organization are intrigued by him? The only way I see us drafting Jackson Hayes is in some situation where we get a really, really good, maybe all-star player in some kind of trade that involves Wendell Carter, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see it. I don't see, like, nearly any scenario unless it's some weird thing with the Pelican situation.
To me,
but I doubt it. No, I can't think of anything.
I would put him in an E-tier, basically the same as trading out, just because I think that position and that having that style, like you saw what happened to what's his face with the Rockets in the playoffs. Their center, why can't I remember his name? Why can't you remember
Clint
his name?
Capella.
Clint Capella.
Who
like
apparently the Boston Celtics are interested in.
You know, just in the playoffs was there were stretches where he was unplayable, just couldn't stretch the floor. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
really like what we have in Wendell Carter Jr. Like with potential to stretch the floor, but also the same potential to be a rim runner.
Like you almost have to be able to at least shoot a mid-range jumper in the modern NBA. And I don't know. He projects to
even
be able
Lopez
to do
that.
He projects to be able to do that. Like his free throw shooting is not bad. But to me, like if you're picking him at 7, what are you doing? That's an E tier for me.
Right. Yeah, I don't see any situation where we do that.
Here's an interesting one. DeAndre Hunter, who in a lot of people's mocks is like a top 5 player, and then other people have him falling to like
10.
So
I see DeAndre Hunter as like a slightly better prospect. Maybe as Mikal Bridges from last year. I mean, do you remember, we kind of talked about him being a possibility for the Bulls. I really liked him for the Bulls at 7.
A very good defender. Guy who can hit threes. He's not a great creator, handler.
He's a really good off-ball player.
But don't you already have that if you're the Bulls with Otto Porter and a way better version? Because Otto Porter can actually create, like, a little bit.
Right. You do. And a lot of people say, like, oh, well, you need somebody to, like, be able to, you know.
And Otto's not a bad defender.
Succeed Otto Porter. Because everybody assumes that we're not going to re-sign Otto Porter past his 2-year contract. I say pish-posh because, like, I mean, you could probably get him for $15 million later down the line, and that's nothing after the cap spikes. So I don't know. I see Otto Porter more for the long run than other people do. But
so, to me, I put him in maybe the C tier, just because like it's not the floor is not super low. Like he'll at least be a valuable somewhat player.
And he's a guy who'd be like ready to play. Like Mikal Bridges, I mean, he was on the Suns, so I mean he's kind of in a shitty position there, but I mean he was ready to play. I mean he was towards the league leaders in steals.
Mm-mm.
As a rookie. He'll be an all defensive prospective player at some point, and so will this dicky fuck, DeAndre Hunter.
All right, so I think we have
Dude, are your neighbors smoking crack up there?
They might be. We have three options left in this list. One guy that I'm not super high on, that you sound like you are a little bit, is Sekou Demboya, who, if you look at his stats, it's very confusing why he is a top 10 prospect. He's very athletic. He played in France last. I think he scored like 3.9 points a game or something like that. But European stats are always like, super weird.
But like
weird.
In like pro-am games and games like he's been playing. I mean, he's been putting up like 20 points with hitting like three, going like 3 for 5 from three. Like, I mean, he's really worked on his shooting stroke. He just worked out with the Bulls this past week. I see him as a guy who's just been really working on polishing his game and like doing a little bit of everything. But where he can be very valuable is on the wing, whether that be the 3 or the 4. I think he can play both. He is just like a dynamite defensive prospect with potential on offense. So, some people see like Giannis potential with him being this like kind of mystery foreigner who's going to come over and just like dominate on both sides of the ball. Realistically, you can't guarantee that's going to happen. You can't even bet too much that that's going to happen. But
and he's a 4, right?
That's what he's projected to be, but
like a 3-4 type.
Yeah.
More than a 4-5.
Right. I mean, he's like a more filled out version of Durant like body. So like, yeah, you can say 4, but I think you can stick him situationally at a 3.
I put him into the D tier without your consent because to me, like, there needs to be or there's going to be a development phase with him, and I'm not really sure I want to take on that. You know what I mean?
I mean, wouldn't there be with Cam Reddish, who you have as B tier?
Well, I think he could at least be serviceable in his first couple seasons.
This guy is just going to be like in the bottom 5, like
I think he could potentially like just not be a good NBA player. I think there's a potential for him to need a few years, kind of like Siakam. I think there's a potential. To me, it's more of a developmental pick, a guy that would need to spend a few years in your system before he became good, and I just don't know if you want to take him with the 7th pick.
Okay.
We have 2 options left. The one that we kind of alluded to before is trading for Lonzo Ball, being a part of the Pelicans trade, I guess, or maybe just straight up trading for Lonzo Ball, which maybe if it happened midway through last season, we would have a little more optimism about it, or, like, if it was maybe before this NBA playoffs, you just see what happens with guys who can't shoot threes and who can't shoot free throws, who don't space the floor. It screws up your whole offense, and just not having that spacing can affect not just Lonzo, but, like, playmakers on your team. Like, if you have a point guard out there with Zach LaVine, you want a guy who's going to draw the defense. Because if the guy who's guarding Lonzo Ball can just sag off Lonzo Ball and go attack Zach LaVine, it's going to fuck up your whole offense.
The reason I think that the Bulls, have been linked to being, they're being said to be intrigued by Lonzo Ball is, in my opinion, because we do, as I mentioned before, have a prototypical front court of the future. Just a dynamic 4-5 combo in Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen with absolutely unlimited potential. Them wanting somebody who has potentially elite passing vision that can basically come in and set those guys up. But I think you hold a very valuable point is, you need to be a threat from other aspects in today's game. You can't just come in and be a point guard. The traditional point guard is almost dead. And I do see that he works on his shot, and he is working to get better on his shot. He went from like 30% three-point shooting to 33 this year. I mean, he makes it like half the jump he makes. He's at 34.5, which, I mean, is close to league average. So, I mean, with the amount that he takes, around 5 a game, that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, like, we really get down on this guy about his shooting.
What about his free throws?
His free throws are shit. I don't know what the fuck's going on with that. I mentioned this on the podcast last week with Vic, but, like, his dad was on The Jump or First Take or one of those things where they're like, well, don't you have concern with your son's, you know, free throw shooting? He goes, no, he can fix that. And then he's like, oh, free throws are easy to fix. And he goes, well, why haven't you fixed his, you know, his free throws? And he goes, well, you know, I don't wanna. Like, his dad, like, you're also getting
such a troll.
You're also getting that fucking dickhead, which,
yeah, that, I mean, that, you, like, add that to,
I mean,
it,
how much of a threat is he?
You add that to it, you add the fact that he can't, you know, his shooting is not great, which is a big red flag.
His durability is a red flag.
You
as
add
well.
The fact that you're gonna have to trade something to get him. It's not like he's a free agent and you take a flyer on him like you did with Jabari Parker.
But then again, he's gonna be a free agent eventually, the same year Lauri Markkanen, like, needs to be re-signed. So you got financial problems of the future as well.
Well, if he's a free agent and he's, you know, you sign him for 1 year, $15 million, sure, what, fuck it, I don't care. But you have to give something up to get him. So,
but then again, I mean, we have so many question marks with this number 7 anyways.
What are they going to want for? Are we just going to trade the 7 for Alonzo?
I think 7 and fuck off. Like, I mean, you're not getting any more. I mean, maybe Dunn, but, like, you're not like, there's no way I want Dunn and Lonzo Ball on the same team. Dunn backing up Lonzo Ball is just, like, more, like, I mean, they're just different versions of each other. One's longer, and, I mean, they're both really good defenders. One's a little bit, shoots a little bit more, but both shoot around the same percentage.
To me, it's somewhere between D and E tier. It's probably not as bad as trading out, and it's not as bad as Jackson Hayes.
I don't know. I mean, there is some, I mean, like, analysts, like, I was watching.
Maybe a D tier?
I might even put him in the C tier.
I don't know.
I mean,
it's
not the absolute worst thing that can happen.
I'd rather have Kobe White than Lonzo Ball, like, straight up, just because, I mean, Kobe White can stretch the floor. And Lonzo
not
needs
much,
the
though.
Ball in his hands, and it takes away from Zach LaVine. All right, we'll put him in the D tier. And then our last option, which will be interesting to talk about because there's a lot of options here, is trading down.
What do you trade down for?
Well, okay, so trading down just as a concept is interesting because the Bulls do have a lot of holes. They don't have any depth whatsoever. And I think we can agree on that. They have no backup. I mean, like, Denzel Valentine, maybe, kind of. Backup point guard, they don't really have anyone. Backup shooting guard, you go Denzel and Blankeny, I guess. I mean, these are, like, bordering on G League players. Same thing with Chandler Hutchison, who didn't have a great rookie season. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. They don't really have a backup power forward. They don't really have... I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Robin Lopez. They're probably not going to bring him back, I wouldn't think. So you don't really have a backup center unless you count Shrek. So the theory is, well, if we can trade with Atlanta and get 8 and 17, I mean, it kind of depends who, you know, if you want to go down one spot to get the guy you were going to get anyway, and then you get a 17th pick who, you know, if you look at kind of who's available around that range, 17 right now is being mocked as Nickeil Alexander-Walker from Virginia Tech. Romeo Langford's over there, Rui Hachimura, Grant Williams from Tennessee,
Kevin Porter Jr. from USC, Tyler Hero, I wouldn't be really
interested
in. I
mean, if Rui's there, like, you might have to take him.
Talen Horton Tucker.
So,
from Iowa State,
Mateus
who's a good player.
Thybul going.
Thybul, they have mocked to the Nets at 27. I have a feeling he's going to go sooner than that.
I think he's going to go. I've seen some mocks that have him going like 15, mm-hmm. like as high as. So, I think that's a guy that I might want to take a risk for. And I mean, it's not even that much of a risk at 17, I guess.
I mean, my thought is, okay, so you trade down. And say the Hawks are like, you know what, we really want Cam Reddish. See, that's the thing. If you could potentially, I don't know if the Hawks would do that, though.
We just got a new fan question in, so remind me to throw that option.
I don't know if the Hawks would do that, because why would they need to move up a spot? They're moving up one spot and then giving us a 17th pick in the draft. Like, for what? Why, like... We're probably
going
to take
know
Kobe
what
White
unless they're going for. Unless we like hang something over their head.
Unless we say we're going to take Cam Reddish unless you trade up with us and give us the 17th.
I mean, or Jared Culver,
you can
then
have,
give us both.
And then, yeah, give us the 8 and 17.
If Jared Culver's there, I've heard the Hawks really, really, really like Jared Culver. You can hang that over their head and get 8 and 10.
But why wouldn't... I mean... If you're willing to make that trade, that tells the Hawks that you're not really into Jarrett Culver anyway. So, are you just going to draft a player that you
don't
like?
I mean, that's poker face there.
Well, it's interesting, is all I'm saying. And then you have the Celtics, who have two picks. I mean, you could trade back with the Celtics. You could get 14 and 20.
Not dealing with them.
The only argument for trading back would be the Bulls need depth, and if they don't really like who's available, if they're like, you know what, we absolutely, the only player or the only position we want to draft is point guard, and if there's no good point guards there, we're trading back. Like, I respect that. If you can get two depth pieces that are going to grow with this young core, if you can get... You know, if you want to take a risk with Kevin Porter Jr., if you want to get Rui Hachimura, if you're looking at a PJ Washington, if you're looking at, you know, I mean, there's Nick Claxton from Georgia, who's an interesting center, like a playmaking center. Matisse Thybul. There's some guys towards the bottom if you really like a few of the guys. And then maybe you get Shamori Ponds in the second round with your second round pick, or you get the dude from Purdue. What's his face?
I'm drawing a blank on his name, too.
I'll look it up in a sec. You get Carson Edwards. I mean, Chuma Okeke is going to be there, for the guy from Auburn who's obviously dropping because
he really
had a
like
knee
Bazley.
Injury.
I mean, Bazley's a big that can add to your... I mean, if you get like Cam Reddish and Bazley, that's not a bad draft right there.
I mean, there's Admiral Schofield available. There's some guys late in the draft. I mean, even if you want to trade back for a first and a couple seconds and maybe a bench piece or something like that, to me it's not... Like, if the guy that is available at 7 is not a guy that you really have any interest in, then... I don't think trading back is the worst thing in the world.
No.
I mean, is there anyone like?
Well, here's a trade back in situation for more. Like, you draft 7 and then trade in for more. This is to the Hawks as well. This is at Goldie Dundada.
We'll add that as another option to
Bulls,
trade back.
Bulls
in.
Trade Wendell for the 8th and draft Cam at 7 and Bull at 8 and get D'Lo in free agency. I think that straight up right there is, I mean, like...
Do you want Bull? No. I have no interest in Bull at all.
I'm really high on Wendell Carter Jr. So, like, to get rid of him, I'm going to want a lot more. I'm going to want to definitely shed Felicio's contract. I'm going to definitely want one more solid piece in that to draft... Bull Bull or Jackson Hayes with that 8 spot. But no, I'm going to say no on that one.
So trading down,
I'm gonna say E tier there. No,
trading down. What do you put for trading down to get multiple firsts, or you know, a first, another first?
I'm gonna say E tier.
You don't like it?
D. I mean, you can go with D.
So it's the same as trading for Lonzo. It would piss you off that much? To me, it's like a C tier. It's like not the best.
I'm not enraged by the Lonzo. Still, I might be agitated, but I mean, I at least see that Lonzo Ball has like a hell of a lot of talent.
To me, it's a C tier just because it could be interesting if you get two pieces. I mean, the Bulls, just with the lack of depth that the Bulls have right now, trading back in is interesting. It kind of depends on.
I mean, I don't want to give up Wendell, but what else could we do to trade back in?
See, that's the thing, is that you would need to give up a player in order for you to trade back in.
So who?
I mean, no team, unless you want to trade in next year's first round pick, which why would you do that? You know, for what's considered a weak draft, why would you want to trade back in, giving up something for next year? I don't know if there's anyone on the Bulls right now that you're really... Is there anyone on the Bulls that has a whole lot of trade value just as...
Dunn, no. Valentine, no.
I mean, that's it. Maybe someone wants Dunn. Maybe someone looks at Dunn and says, that's a good backup point guard for us.
I mean, it is.
If they're like, you know what, fuck free agency. We're not going to fuck around and try to find... We're just going to get Chris Dunn now.
And we can extend him because he's on a rookie deal for $10
million.
We're
not going to worry about free agency. I mean, maybe.
See, one person, one team that I'm like.
The thing is, there's so many teams that have multiple first-round draft picks that do not want to deal with fucking three rookies next year or two rookies next year.
One team that, might want done is the Atlanta Hawks. They can't straight up suck in his contract because they just did that deal with the Nets that got them.
So you trade Dunn just straight up for
the Atlanta Hawks, think about it.
17 or for 10? Probably 17, right?
Probably, but think about it. The Atlanta Hawks are they have Trae Young. Chris Dunn is the exact opposite point guard of Trae Young.
True.
So, that could be a very good complimentary bench piece for them.
Are they willing to give up 17 for it? Because Trae Young's going to play
34 minutes
a game. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be pretty much maxed out in terms of what's safe to play your best player.
To today's standards. People are fucking... I was joking today, and I mean, this is an absolute joke, so I'll preface it with that, but I was saying that fucking Wilt Chamberlain used to play 46 minutes a game. Jordan had seasons where he was over 40. The reason people are getting hurt and pulling their Achilles and their ACL these days is because of all the rest they're getting, playing patty cake on the bench, and they're tensing up their muscles.
That is weird, even when you go to, look at MLB, how players used to pitch complete games.
Yeah, complete games was, the standard. If you're pitching that, you could pitch the next game, too. You could pitch, 30, 40 games.
I think probably they just had to exert less effort because they're... strength and conditioning programs weren't all that great. Yeah. So I don't think Wilt Chamberlain was going 100% every single play. He was probably just kind of loafing down the floor
and catching a pass
in the post and turning around and hitting
poorly conditioned. I mean, have you ever played with him in 2K?
Mm-mm.
It's interesting. I mean, it's not what you expect.
So, trading back in... again, I mean, this is all dependent on who do you get. To me, it's I don't know if anyone on the Bulls... that is in that range, the Chris Dunns, the Chandler Hutchison, the Denzel Washington level guys. Denzel Valentine. Denzel Washington. Denzel.
Have you seen Hutch lately?
No.
In his pictures of him working out, pictures of him on the beach. He is fucking jacked.
I just don't know if any of those guys, like, compare them to who you can get at 17 or who you can get in the 20s. Is there anyone there that really makes you excited?
No. At 17?
Or, you know, in that range, 17 to 20, late first round. Is there anyone
Like I said, I like Thybul. So, I like Thybul. If Rui is there, I like him.
So, you know what? I'm gonna switch these. I'm gonna go trade back in as C tier, and trade back as D tier. And that is it. We have everything. I mean, unless there's other options you can think of.
Here's one option that we are not going to put in this list because, like, it's absolute bullshit. People have talked about trading Zach LaVine for 4 and Lonzo Ball. Zach LaVine and 7 for 4 and Lonzo Ball. So that Zach LaVine goes to the Pelicans. The reason this got spurred is Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic. And I just want to be really clear about where this came from. So you can stop freaking out about it. It is so annoying to go on the internet and like see, especially Facebook. Like, don't, if you want to talk Bulls, like, don't go, like some of the people on Facebook are crazy. Some of the people on Twitter are crazy. I don't touch Instagram, but like, people have been like freaking out, being like, "Oh, we better not trade Zach," or "Oh, we you know, we should make this Zach deal for 4." Like, who at 4 is like as valuable as Zach LaVine? Like, I'm on the record saying I love Darius Garland. Like, he is not worth Zach LaVine, in my opinion. So how this started is Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic the other day said that the Bulls are like open to listen to offers. To listen to offers for people other than Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. So Zach LaVine, like, obviously people are like, oh my God, like, you know, and people are like making stories off of this story, and the header, the thumbnail picture for it is Zach LaVine. So like everybody's freaking out, being like, oh my God, Zach LaVine's gonna get traded. The Bulls are actively shopping Zach LaVine. Shut the fuck up. No, they're not.
Well, then I mean, you have to consider offers because
You have to consider offers for
Zach LaVine. You're not only getting Zach LaVine, you're getting Zach LaVine for like 4 years,
three more.
So you're getting Zach LaVine for 3 years. He's in his prime. He's probably going to get, you know, marginally better every single year. His contract is going to look a lot better on the back end of it.
Oh yeah,
as the salary cap goes up.
It already looks really, really good.
But, I mean, if there's a team out there that's willing to give you something fucking insane.
Yeah.
If there's a team out there that is willing to give you, you can't trade multiple first-round picks or, you know, consecutive first-round picks. But if they're willing to give you this year's, 2 years from now, and 4 years from now, and, you know, a player or something like that, I mean, maybe. But right. The only reason I would see, which is kind of a non-starter argument because there's no reason to clear up cap space, but that would be the only reason to get rid of Zach is if you are like, there's a free agent out there that's definitely going to come to Chicago and we have to get rid of Zach to clear up the cap space. But, you know, it would be nice to get rid of Zach for a pick because then you're not taking on any contract and you just have another $20 million to play with. But who is come to
and what
Chicago?
People? So then Zach Lowe on the Zach Lowe podcast has basically been like talking about this Anthony Davis trade and that they're looking for a solid current like veteran player. And he said somebody that fits the mold is like somebody like Zach LaVine. Like, Chicago might be interested in doing that. Like, maybe. Like, he wasn't saying Chicago. I know Chicago is like looking to get in on this and like wants to throw Zach LaVine out and get the 4th pick in return. He was basically just like suggesting that, as, you know, as its own. And people have just been blowing this up. There's been mass hysteria all over the internet. And I just wanted to stop because I know there's no validity to this. And then, to add even more salt to the wound, some idiot from fucking Reddit on Lakers Reddit like said, "Oh, this is what's gonna happen." And then somebody's like, oh, well, this guy's been right on something before, saying that Paul George is going to go, you know, stay with the OKC Thunder, not going to come to the Lakers. He said this on Reddit last year, so he must be right this year. Like, it's a fucking guy on Reddit. Yeah. Give me a fucking break.
I really think that... Like, why would the Bulls do that? What is the point of the last 2 years if, you know, and signing the
offer
sheet?
Are we starting a rebuild over?
Yeah, like, there's no reason to do that at all. It doesn't make any
sense. We got a guy that I truly think is going to score 25 to 27 points a game next year, who came out and scored efficiently this year at 46% from the field, like 38 from three this year, carried the load. Like, I mean, this dude was fucking carrying this team on a leash this entire like first half of the season until people started to get healthy. I mean, this dude is incredible with his work ethic, and like, people are either freaking out saying, oh, I think this guy might be for real, or like entertaining it and saying, oh my god, I really, you know, like, want this fourth pick for Zach LaVine. Like, maybe in some drafts that are really, really, really deep with star level talent that goes past two or three like this one, maybe, but like, even then, I would still want some sort of asset back other than just Zach LaVine for this fourth pick. And then basically saying, we'll get Lonzo Ball with the seventh pick in this, multi-way deal. But no, I mean, that's fucked.
All right, let's throw Bull Bull in there just for fun. Where's Bull Bull? Is he an E tier? Is he on par with Jackson Hayes?
Yeah, Bull Bull has a lot of question marks. I mean, he's a ball handling big who can shoot the three, but he also is a stick bug, and I think he's gonna get hurt.
For sure. He already got hurt. I think he's gonna get hurt again. I think he's gonna get absolutely pushed around. I think he would get pushed around by Lowry.
Center in the NBA.
Yeah,
fucking kidding me? Like, I know we're going to a new wave.
The thing is, he can shoot. To me, I'm putting him in E tier because I think he's going to get hurt. I think that he's athletic enough, but how is he going to move? Like, how can he jump out on, like, you put him in the pick and roll. What the fuck is he going to do? He's got, like, he is a good enough reach where maybe if he kind of does he's on Portland. It's hard to remember people's names sometimes.
Cantor?
Yeah, if he does the Cantor thing where he kind of sags back off the pick and roll and just, like, uses his reach to, like, disrupt shots, maybe it's okay, but he can't jump out on three-point shooters.
Like,
he can't...
Like, he would basically be Pau Gasol on defense, but, like, weaker.
Like, put
like,
him
like
on
physically
the
weaker.
Least athletic... big man the other team has. I don't really see him succeeding.
With some of the athletes that
he
are
can
coming
shoot
up
threes
in this
though. That's the thing. That's
right.
That's
so,
the
so
equalizer.
Can Thon Maker.
Yeah, and Thon is, you know, kind of, I don't even know what the fuck he's doing now.
So could his dad back in the day. But like, I mean, his dad barely could play in the NBA. I mean, there was.
Yeah, Manu Bol was
there
not.
Theories that he was like 55 years old when he was playing in the NBA, which would mean like he would have had this kid at like 60, which is pretty much impossible. So,
yeah, I would not be happy if the Bulls ended up with Bol Bol unless they got him in the second round. If you pick Bol Bol in the second round, fine. But I really don't get the hype.
15 pick.
I really don't understand the hype. They had him mocked in the Locked On NBA podcast. They had him mocked, and they even have him mocked on the Tankathon website to the Charlotte Hornets, which I think is Charlotte Hornets move to just.
Is Michael Jordan still like the say in drafting for them?
Yeah. I think, I don't know. They might have ceded more power to their GM, but I just picture him and Bismack Biyombo in practice going one-on-one, just missing layups over each other.
Like, that's just a, it's a very, I mean, what do you do if you're Charlotte? That's another, that's a real basketball hell. I mean, there's
that
a few
not
in the
my
NBA.
Fucking problem.
There's a few in the NBA. Charlotte is
Charlotte
gotta be one
and
of
the
them.
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat are
hell.
Better though because they're not totally strapped with like a lot of salary problems. Are
look
they?
At their payroll, dude.
I gotta look at their payroll.
It is insane.
They have a lot of good pieces though.
Like who? Josh Richardson maybe.
Let's see this. Miami Heat. Payroll. You might change my mind. Let me look at this.
The Miami Heat are in cap hell. They're paying Hassan Whiteside, who's
going
to opt into his
issue,
player option.
You,
so that'll be freed up after next year.
Gave
but $27 million. Ryan Anderson, $15 million this year. That'll go away. So, I mean, next year they might be looking at some decent space.
All right, so the problem...
Goran Dragic for $19 million. James Johnson, $15 million. Kelly Olynyk, $11 million. Deion Waiters, $12 million. Josh Richardson 10, Winslow 13, Abadayo 3, and Derrick Jones 1. Johnson, Olynyk, Waiters, Richardson, and Winslow all go past this upcoming year.
Well, they had Chris Bosh on the books for $26 million this year. I mean,
did they really?
Yeah.
They couldn't get that like pulled like because of his blood.
Maybe
blood
it was
class.
Maybe it was not fully guaranteed. I'm not really sure if that affected him this year.
It looks
year.
Like they paid him.
Hassan Whiteside is making $27 million next year, which is a problem. And they've been trying to get rid of him.
Which reminds me, I did a Ron rebuild on 2K. Mm-hmm. You know, Bulls NBA buckets Ron. So I had a team of Whiteside, Jeremy Lamb, Archie Diacono, Brooke Lopez, Kevon Looney, just a bunch of those guys, a bunch of Ron guys.
Uh-huh.
And I went a solid 35 win team.
Yeah, there's no playmaker on that team. Ron just probably
Archie
doesn't.
Archie Diacono.
He doesn't like playmakers because they don't shoot.
Oh, no, you know what? I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay. Well, that's a good pick for him.
I traded Zach LaVine for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and somebody else on the Clippers. Well, and I had to give up a first-round pick. And then I signed Jeremy Lamb to Zach LaVine's contract. Did you see that parody account for somebody's like impersonating Ron?
No.
And
it's
like
probably
his,
Vic.
And his name, it's not. I mean, people thought it was me, but it's not. Let me see.
Oh, so anyway, the Miami Heat.
His Twitter name is, I mean, it's almost
Levine
the same. Zach Levine is a menace to society. His one was, he had, in his bio, it says, Zach Levine is the worst player in the league and is solely responsible for the election of Trump. And then he had a picture of the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet says it was aware of a reported attack on the Gulf of Oman, and it said the work of that dastardly Zach LaVine. And then he goes, players who are not menaces: Fred VanVleet. Oh, I had Fred VanVleet on my team. Jeremy Lamb, Alan Crabb, Alfonso McKinney, Brogdon, Landry Shamet, and Brooke Lopez. I actually had all of those on my team. Players that are menaces: Zach LaVine.
So, yeah. I don't know why the fuck we're talking about the Miami Heat. I kind of forgot.
We were talking about cap hell.
Oh. I mean, they're okay. I mean, they just have to get rid of Whiteside. He's going to be off the books in 2020. I mean, they just don't have any good young pieces.
I mean, and they
pieces.
Are a favorable destination as far as city-wise.
Yeah, they have no sales tax there.
Sign me up.
Pat Riley is aggressive.
It's Pat Riley.
I don't know. I mean, to me, the Charlotte Hornets payroll is terrible. But, I don't know, we're kind of getting out in the weeds here. What do we have any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, what's your ideal draft situation then? Make it realistic.
So we're not doing Michael Jordan comes back in the time machine?
No.
What I think they should do is they should stay where they are, don't trade up, and just take the best available player. They have no depth whatsoever.
And who is that to you?
Whoever's there. I don't know.
Who do you want it to be?
If all three point guards are gone, and that leaves Culver or Reddish, I mean, maybe that's who you go with. If you feel good about DeAndre Hunter, which is kind of questionable, I would like Garland. I'd like to see that experiment in Chicago and just get like an actual point guard that can do things. I would say Garland would be my pick, either that or trade down and get depth. But the Bulls need a lot of help. I mean, they're not going to solve all their problems with one pick. And I don't think there's not a lot of guys at seven that I think are home runs. So, you know, you pick right. one and you hope that they work out, but it might not. You know, that's to me why trading down or trading back in is so interesting to me, because it's like, why not take a couple swings at it? Maybe sure. you get a guy at 17 or 12 or whatever who ends up being a really good player. The Bulls are always have been very good at drafting late and finding those value guys like late in the lottery or late in the draft. So
mm-hmm.
I would say Garland or trade down.
I would still trade up to five for Garland if he slips past four. Because I don't think he's getting past the Phoenix Suns. There's been rumors that Kobe White was promised, but like, the Suns could say fuck White if Garland's still there. Anyways, follow us at Bully Pulpit Pod on Twitter. That's where we're mainly active. And if you haven't listened, I with Vic Selbs, our new guest host, did a episode called the Point God episode this past week. So listen to that, and we break down every single possible point guard situation that the Bulls could have going forward. So anyways, we will be back on draft night for a live stream on Twitter as well as a podcast where we will give you our live reactions to the NBA draft, which is Thursday, June 20th. You have something.
Two more points.
Why didn't you say it before?
Well, okay, the first thing I want to ask is, we already said what we want to have happen. What do you think the most likely thing is to happen? I think the most likely thing is Cam Reddish or Kobe White.
I think Kobe White's going to the Suns in a lot of situations. So I think Cam most Reddish likely, is there. I mean, Jarrett Culver could be there.
I think Culver goes to the Cavs. Cavs are in...
Yeah.
I mean, they have no players at all, so they just have to get whatever they can possibly get. To me, trading back for the Cavs, unless they're going to get multiple firsts, and even then, they need just anything at this point. I think it'll probably be Reddish or...
Reddish, Demboya, or...
If it's Brandon Clark... A lot of people are going to be upset. I won't be as upset, but I could see it happening too. And then the last thing, I just want to... This is pretty funny. I just want to look at the Charlotte Hornets team payroll. This is for all the Bulls fans who are upset about getting the 7th overall pick. If you're upset, you don't feel like the Bulls have a lot of good pieces or the necessary pieces at this point to make a run at the NBA championship. And you're sad about Derrick Rose still. And you're depressed about being a Bulls fan. And you hate... Garpax, take a look at this payroll for the Charlotte Hornets. Their highest paid player, who is still on the books till 2021, is Nicholas Batum, who in 2021 will make $27 million. Their next highest paid player is Bismack Biyombo, who's making $17 million. Their next highest paid player is Marvin Williams, making 14. Then you have Cody Zeller, who's on the books till 2020, who's making $15.4 million. You have Michael again, we're not even at Kemba Walker yet. You have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's making $13 million through next year. Kemba Walker,
is make what made $12 million last year is probably going to make what, 36 or whatever with the Supermax.
Yeah, he could go on the go on the Supermax, and I think all signs point to it. He mentioned something about possibly taking less if it means getting the Hornets to a better place, but
so
I doubt it.
Who would you rather have? Zach LaVine, Otto Porter Jr., Lowry, and Wendell Carter, or Nicholas Batum, Bismack Biyombo, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
Jesus fuck.
Things could be worse, folks. That's all for today. Subscribe and give us 5 stars on iTunes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.